both of Brother Fran. I appreciate the presentation tonight. What a burden, amen? And to think about all those people, not just about where they live, but without a gospel church there to preach to them. So be in prayer for you, Brother Fran. Appreciate your wife singing, and we appreciate Miss Robin's voice. That was beautiful. I don't know about him, but that was awesome. Well, it's good to have Brother Wido again with us tonight. Brother Wido, you come on and preach to us, and such a blessing yesterday. Amen.
Yes, but I'm going to go ahead and sing anyway. We love you, missionaries. Oh, yes, we do. We don't love anyone as much as you. When you're not with us, we're blue. Oh, missionaries, we love you. Amen. Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord for our missionaries. And I don't go in concert mode often, but well, we love the Filipinos. Amen. I don't eat balut either, brother. Those baluts, they ride around on bicycles, you know, kind of like we would like the ice cream truck come around, the little bells ringing, we run out and get a popsicle. In the Philippines, they ride around, they got like saddlebags on bicycles, and they say, balut, balut. And the closest I ever came was right here. And they took pictures, and that was it. But it's a duck egg, and the duck is fully developed, and it's bad. They love them. I mean, it's a treat in the Philippines. Do you eat? But y'all, no, balut. Yeah, she does. Amen. They love that stuff. But anyway, I don't do baluts. I was preaching over in the Philippines, and we flew over to Iloilo, another island. We flew into Manila, and then we flew over to Iloilo. And I had a couple of preacher friends with me, and they'd never been on a missions trip. And one of them stayed behind to preach where we were at, and the other one went with me, and he had his 12-year-old son, Brother John Horton, and he had his son Anthony with him. It was their first missions trip. And so Dr. Rick Martin has a large work in Iloilo, and so we're going up in the mountains kind of on a field trip to see some of the works that they've started across the mountains there. And so we went to this little Filipino, one of their first Bible college graduates way back in maybe the 80s, I think. And anyway, just a very gracious and humble pastor there. And they were cooking lunch for us. So they're outside, you know, they're cooking outside, and we get there, and of course, they've gone down the hill to get us a Coke. And I like Cokes when I'm in the Philippines. Amen. I want a Coke. Amen. Get me a Coke. All right. And, so they're getting everything ready, and they've got somebody kind of standing over the table with a big green leaf, and they're kind of just shooing the flies away. We don't like flies, okay? So the flies, they're shooing the flies away. Well, they set the table, and we're there, and Brother Horton's son, Anthony, is 12 years old, So he reaches into this bowl to get him some chicken. The first piece of chicken he got was a chicken's foot. And I know that in America, you know, we have chicken's feet, and some people eat them, but I'm not really big into chicken's feet, you know, myself. If you are, more power to you, amen. Kind of like balutes. I don't do balutes. I don't do chicken's feet. But anyway, so the missionary that was with us, he said, Anthony, let me have that piece. And so he took that piece. And the next piece that he got was the chicken's head. And it was a hen, you know. I mean, I'm a farm boy, you know, and I'm looking here, my eyes are getting big. And that hen was winking at me. I was looking, she had one eye open, one eye closed, and I'm like, oh, great. But anyway, he said, Anthony, let me have that piece too. And so finally the preacher reached in there and got him a piece that he could eat. But anyway, we had a good time in the Philippines, and we loved the Filipinos, and had a lot of great services over there and people being saved. And one of the highlights of that trip, though, we support a ministry called Beams Ministry. Beams is Bible Education and Missionary Service. Dr. Renee Perrette down in Gulfport, Mississippi, they package whole hardback Bibles and they provide them to missionaries all over the world free of charge. And we're involved in the Beams Ministry and love that ministry. And I've been to Gulfport and packed Bibles in boxes and stuff, tracks in there, and addressed them and all that, you know. And we have, he comes every year, we have boxes of Bibles lined up, and our people take them to the post office and mail them, and I've done that. But you know, I'd never taken a box of Bibles and handed it to a national pastor. And we had just, the whole platform was just covered in Bibles, like a wall of Bibles. And there was a line of pastors, like 90 Filipino national pastors out of the mountain regions, and to take those cases of Bibles and know that they were going to go to people that I would never see this side of eternity. You're talking about a blessing, amen. That was a blessing. That was a blessing. And people here in America that God had blessed, given monies to pay for those Bibles so that those pastors who maybe didn't have the, couldn't afford a Bible could take them back to people who'd been saved and in their churches and all that. And I'm telling you, God is in that stuff.
Amen.
And brother, I appreciate your spirit and I appreciate your heart to go and reach the people by the tracks. And you know, I've been over there. I'm telling you, it's different, y'all. It's a lot different. And, you know, to go and reach people that the Filipinos would call poor people, I'm telling you, they don't have anything. And, you know, I'm real tender-hearted and I love people and all that, you know. And we go to the market, you know, and I give a little kid something. Man, next thing you know, I got like a herd of kids following me. You know, if you give them one, man, they go find their friends. And man, they're like, hey, yeah, you know, he's pointing at him. And, but I just love them, man. I get all into that. And you know, it doesn't really matter to me what they do with the money. I mean, I just, you know, I love them. I just love them. I just think about my grandkids, and it's game over, amen. And yeah, but anyway, I love the Filipinos, and I love missions conferences, and love missionaries, and so forth. Take your Bibles tonight. Turn to Matthew chapter number 9, and we'll jump in here. And my heart's really full, and I want to be time conscious this week, and all that stuff. And I got way more stuff than we can ever get to, and stories, and things of that nature. I hope you're praying about your faith promise missions commitment. And I'm excited about what the Lord's using you to do here. And again, thank God for your pastor. And these shoes are still sitting here. I got some other shoes tonight that I left dinner where I was sitting at. I've just got too many stories on my mind and my heart. But we're going to get in the Word of God. And I wrote down some things this morning about missions. Missions is world evangelization. World evangelization. Missions is someone going somewhere to tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ and His saving grace. Man, thank God. What a powerful illustration, these missionaries getting up here and singing in these different languages. I don't speak Tagalog, or I don't speak his language, Samoan. I was thinking this, my mind's not normal, you know, but I was thinking if we had a sumo wrestler and your pastor, if they would wrestle on Sunday, I think, how many of y'all would bring 5 people if they did that? Amen. Okay, 5, 10, 15, 20. Hold your hand up there. 25. Okay, good. That's another 100 right there, preacher. Amen. I preacher's thinking like if we can have 450 or 400. You know, I'm thinking like y'all gonna have to have more than that to beat those people. And by the way, it's a man thing. You men got to help pastor out now. You got to invite some visitors. And he doesn't want to have to eat crow. Amen. He wants to win on Sunday. So y'all be sure and sign up as many people as you can, and bring them in Sunday. Amen. And what a powerful thing. That's gonna be awesome with the rodeo and the chili and all that stuff. That's all good Texas stuff. So you ought to be able to get about, you know. And I had a lady one time, she invited 22 people and nobody came. 22 people and not one of them came, but there was a whole bunch of other people that came because she invited 22. Are you listening to me? You just do your best and that'll be just right. Amen. You invite everybody you know and get them to come. And if the missionary's not booked somewhere, y'all need to arrange that. Amen. That'd be good. That'd go good with rodeo. Yeah, amen. That'd be worth the price of admissions. The word missions means to be sent to a particular place for a particular purpose. World missions is a team effort involving God, local churches, and missionaries. Scriptural missions first involves God calling families or individuals out of local churches to leave their home area and go somewhere else to preach the gospel and start churches as the Lord instructed. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing to see these men and their families go to the distant lands and tell people about the Lord, people get saved and so forth. And man, what a blessing. Churches are established and nationals are trained. Missions involves the local church sending forth those people whom God calls out of it. Missions also involves sending church and supporting churches, standing with the missionaries with their prayers and financial support. A missions conference, listen to me closely now, a missions conference could be described as a series of meetings set aside for the purpose of teaching and preaching on missions, so that God may place the burden of missions in a greater way upon the hearts of His people. Are y'all listening to me? I mean, that's what all this is about. It's about our heart. Here's the problem. The problem's not on God's end, and the problem's not with the missionaries. We've got missionaries willing to go. If there's a problem, it's on our end as a church. You know, we just got to really get behind this thing. And I appreciate all of you who've had a part in supporting all these missionaries that y'all support. And I thank you on behalf of your missionaries. I thank you on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ for having a heart for missions. And I know pretty much that the ones that are here tonight, you're the ones that are involved in missions because you probably wouldn't be here.
And maybe there's some new ones that are interested and want to get involved. And man, there's room for everybody. Amen. It's just good stuff. And I love it. It's in my heart. And so that's why I'm here. We're not trying to sneak up on you or anything. We're just here to preach the devil out of you first and then challenge you for missions. Amen. And it works pretty good. Amen. All right. Matthew chapter number 9. And I'm not going to take time, but you can kind of go home and read the whole chapter here. And you got a man sick of the palsy. There's a lot of things that happens here, in this chapter. And a woman with the issue of blood. And there's several miracles that Jesus is performing here. And by the way, Jesus went about doing good. And the Bible says the common people received him gladly. That means the people that lived by the railroad tracks, they would love Jesus. Because Jesus would take time to go and minister to them. Verse number 35 of John 9, these are familiar verses, says, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness. I got the word every underlined, every sickness and every disease among the people. He went into all, got the word all circled, all the cities and all the villages. It says, verse number 36, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them. He saw the multitudes, so he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's pray. Father, we love you. I pray you bless the next few moments now, Lord, and help me to say only the things you want said. And God, we just commend this message into your hands, the service, and thank you for the good singing, what our eyes have seen, what our hearts have felt already now. We just ask you in the next few moments to continue to work in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The word harvest here is mentioned three times in this passage that we just read. And, there's an urgency in helping in the harvest. And there's a song in your song book there. If you turn to number 107, just want to look at this kind of for an illustration very quickly and get right to the message. Number 107. And having grown up around farming and raising hay and gardening and so forth, we understand that the harvest, there's just kind of a window of opportunity to get the harvest in. And the song says here, so little time the harvest, number 107, so little time the harvest will be over. Our reaping done, we reapers taken home. Report our work to Jesus, Lord of harvest, and hope He'll smile, and that He'll say, well done. How many times I should have strongly pleaded, verse number 2, how often did I fail to strictly warn? The Spirit moved, oh, had I pled for Jesus, the grain is fallen, lost ones not reborn. Look on down to the last verse. The harvest white with reapers few is wasting. And many souls will die and never know the love of Christ, the joy of sins forgiven. Oh, let us weep and love and pray and go. Today we reap or miss our golden harvest. Today is given us lost souls to win. Oh, then to save some dear ones from the burning. Today we'll go to bring some sinner in. Tonight I want to preach to you on what an honor to help with His harvest. Amen. What an honor to help with His harvest. And I just want to give you a little outline here tonight, and we'll move through it very quickly, and then we'll illustrate it, and then we'll have our invitation. But I want you to notice, first of all, the place of the harvest. And when you think about the harvest, the Bible says the field is the world. The Bible says in John 4:35, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest, okay? And again, we've seen the sign on the church doors. You're now entering the mission field when you walk out the church doors. And usually when we think of mission fields, we think of other countries and all of that. But I'm going to tell you something. God has a world vision. He wants everybody to be saved. And missionary Bob Hughes said this, you cannot take the gospel to the wrong address. The place of the harvest is the world. The field is the world. The people of the harvest, I want you to look at verse number 36. It says, but when he saw the multitudes, when he saw the multitudes. I've been to India and I've been to Manila, these different countries where they have large cities. And I'm telling you, I've never seen anything like just the masses of people. The masses of people, and they just need the Lord. And when the Lord saw that, something down inside of him moved. I mean, you know, and again, the people of the harvest. And, you know, my little town where I went to, you know, I mean, man, we've reached people, and I'm so proud. We got one of our bus kids, a black boy, is about 6'4", and he's, you know, a little bus kid. We had to kick him off because he was bad when he was younger, but he got saved and surrendered to preach at youth camp, and he's in Bible college this year, and I'm so proud of him. And I said, Jacoby, you got any suits? And he said, no, sir, I don't have any suits. And I told the church, I said, man, we got to buy him a couple suits. And we took up a love offering and got him some suits. And I went with him to help him pick them out. Amen. And he's styling and profiling, but I wanted to help guide him, you know. I mean, he's a young black preacher, and I just didn't want him to get, you know, I mean, anyway, I want him to be conservative. Amen. And y'all know what I'm talking about. But anyway, I love Jacoby. And we had another boy, one of our other little bus kids. His name's AJ. And AJ's mom, I preached her funeral. And AJ's dad's got some issues. But anyway, AJ's been riding the bus since he was a little boy, and my son Joe gave AJ a suit, and AJ was wearing a suit with tennis shoes. And I said, AJ, you got any dress shoes? And he said, no, sir, I don't have any dress shoes. And so I kind of mentioned that on a Wednesday night when AJ wasn't there, and so one of our ladies raised her hand and said, well, I'll buy him some shoes, Pastor. And well, Jacoby, this boy that's going to Bible college, he raised his hand too. I said, well, Jacoby, you can go with me. To pick them out, but I was trying to involve him too. Well, I didn't realize Jacoby wanted to buy AJ some shoes, and so one of our bus kids going to Bible college bought another bus kid some shoes, and we went and picked them out. And I'm telling you, it's just a blessing. You know, and we say, I know the world, there's billions of people and all that, and you see all these masses and multitudes of people, but I know in El Dorado, Arkansas, that there are some people that we've reached that nobody else would have ever reached. Are you listening to me? There's people around here your church is going to reach that nobody else is going to reach if we don't reach them. The little boy's walking down the beach one day and the tide had gone back out. You've heard that little story, and there were starfish everywhere laying all over the bank. The little boy's reaching down, throwing starfish out in the water. An old man walked by and said, son, what are you doing? He said, I'm throwing starfish back in the water so they won't die. And the man said, son, there's millions of them. There's thousands of them. What are you thinking? You can't make a difference. The little boy reached down and he picked up one. He said, I made a difference for that one. I mean, hey, we might not reach all the little Samoans, but hey, we're reaching some of them. Amen. We may not reach all the little Filipinos, but we're reaching some of them. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? We're going to reach some of them down by the tracks that nobody else is going to ever reach if we don't send the missionary over there to reach them. Amen. The multitude, the people of the harvest, there's multitudes of them. They're dying. If they die in their sin, they're going to go to hell. The passion of the harvest. The passion. It says when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. The Bible says, if some have compassion, making a difference. See, what the problem is, we've been desensitized by the world. And things that ought to move us now, they don't move us like they should, because the world, we just kind of, I mean, man, God help us. We need to turn TV off and get in the Word of God. Are y'all listening to me? Man, we need to kind of just chill for a while and get with God and get His heart on this stuff. Because I'm telling you, God has a vested interest in a world that's going to hell. And He gave His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm in on it, man. I'm in on it. And I love these missionaries. They're not second-class citizens. They're some of God's frontline soldiers. And again, I thank God that you got a pastor that has a heart. Did I tell y'all it's Pastor Appreciation Month? Okay. Amen. How many of y'all appreciate your pastor? Well, never mind. No, I tell you, you better thank God you got a pastor, amen, that has a heart for missions. Mark 14:14, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and He healed their sick. Mark 6:34, and Jesus, when He came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And He began to teach them many things. I mean, everywhere He went, He saw great crowds and multitudes. Something down inside of Him was... Amen? Y'all listening to me? The priority of the harvest. Look at this now. The priority of the harvest. It says, because they fainted and were scattered abroad. Listen, sheep are kind of sort of defenseless animals, and we understand that. A wolf or a coyote or even those stray dogs will run off into a sheep, and kind of like chickens, if they get a taste of that blood, it's not even like they would just stop and eat that one, but man, they'll just go through and kill all of them. And sheep are defenseless. And the Lord, when He saw the multitude, they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And I'm just telling you, there's an urgency to reach these people. the harvest before it's too late. The priority of the harvest. We even know that from produce and things like that. There's just kind of like a window of opportunity. I know they put all the stuff, preservatives and stuff like that, but still there's just a window of opportunity to be able to eat produce before it goes bad. And I don't know if you've ever picked any fruit, but a ripe piece of fruit, it'll just fall off in your hand. You don't have to pluck it. And I'm telling you, the plenty of the harvest. Look at verse number 37. It says, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous." The plenty of the harvest. The plenty of the harvest. I'm sure you've heard this little story, and I like it because I used to have a bird dog. Y'all heard this story I like to tell. I'm going to tell it again. Y'all okay? Y'all good? Anyway, you know little bird dogs and stuff like that, they're just bred in them, you know. They'll raise their little, you know, they don't even know what they're pointing at when they're little. But this dog was trained. I mean, this dog was like a really good dog and unique, special. He would point, quail, and he would run back to his master and bark, three barks, three birds. Five barks, five birds. It was amazing. His friend went out and hunted with him. He said, "Man, I want to buy that dog from you." He saw him work. And everything was going great, you know. Three birds, three barks. He'd come back, bark, three quail would fly up, five barks, five quail. And finally, he sold him to his friend. And then one day, the dog ran off in a thicket and came back, had a stick in his mouth. He was shaking, going nuts. And the guy shot the dog. And he called his friend. He said, "Man," he said, "I bought that dog." He said, "Everything was going great." But he said, he ran off in a thicket and he came out shaking his stick in his mouth and shaking and all that. And he said, "I shot him graveyard dead." And his friend said, "You idiot." He said, "He was trying to tell you there's more birds in there than you can shake a stick at." Amen. Hey, listen, there are more people in the world than we can shake a stick at, okay? Are you listening to me? The plenty of the harvest. The plenty of the harvest. And then let me give you this, number six, the problem of the harvest. Verse 37, again, the problem of the harvest. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. That's a problem. The laborers are few. Did y'all hear me? The laborers are few. And that's why I thank God for these. I don't speak these different languages. I don't even speak good English. In fact, I was terrible in English. I was an outstanding student. I was always outstanding in the hall. Amen. We got in trouble. I loved school as the principal thing I didn't like. Hey, the problem is not on God's end. The problem is on our end. And boy, we need more missionaries. Are y'all listening to me? We don't need less. Thank God for these missionaries. They prepare themselves and they're ready to go to the mission field. And the problem of the harvest is the laborers are few. And we got missionaries coming off the field and retiring and so forth. We need more missionaries to go to the field, and we need more church planters here in America. And you know, we're living on a mission field, and we can't deny that as a nation, man. We need God here. But we want to, you know, God's vision is the whole world, okay? And the problem of the harvest is not on God's end. If there's a problem, the problem is on our end. And boy, thank God for these missionaries. And then lastly tonight, again, I'm preaching fast, the prayer of the harvest. Verse 38 says, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest." You know, I remember years ago, there was a lady who had been praying in my town for over 20 years that somebody would come to El Dorado, Arkansas and start a church like ours. Over 20 years, 22 years she'd been praying. And you know what? God answered her prayers and God sent us there. Just a little small town, and the sign says 18,000 and something, but God led my family and I there almost 22 years ago. And boy, what a blessing. We had a wonderful ministry. A wonderful ministry. I love it. I love the Lord, and we love the people, and they love us. It's good. It's good stuff. We have a great spirit in our church because we preach the devil out of everybody. And it just seems to work real good, preacher. It does. And we love missionaries. The man that preached at my church yesterday, my wife said that he said that our church made him feel special. I'm gone, and they're just loving on somebody, and he said made him feel special, him and his wife. He's in his 70, 76 years old. He's blind. My brother had to read his passage for him. I didn't even realize he was blind. And my brother had to read his passage for him, and then he preached. I thought, man, that's good stuff. I'm going to have to watch whatever it is that you watch, you know, on the services, the recording or whatever. Not the recording, but anyway, y'all know what I'm talking about. But I just love it. I love it. Are y'all listening to me? I think I'm going to tell you two stories. Brother, go ahead and bring me that little bag behind you there on the seat. I wasn't going to tell this story, but I think I will. Thank you. We had a girl that grew up in our church, and we were going to some youth conferences in Louisville, Kentucky, and she surrendered her life to be a missionary, and she was going to Bible college in Louisville, Kentucky. And we were so proud of her, and her name is Tammy Peterson. And Tammy and I shared the same birthday, July 21st. You might want to write that down in your Bible. It's Pastor Appreciation Month. Do you have any problems with them being... Okay, no, okay. All right, go ahead. You can appreciate me too. Amen. I'm a pastor. Amen. I believe in umbrelling other pastors and so forth, friends of your pastor. But anyway, Tammy and I had the same birthday, so we would have birthday parties together, pastor at the church and the fellowship hall, and her family and our family would come, and we'd eat ice cream and cake together and so forth. And we loved Tammy. Tammy went to public school. We have a Christian school, but she went to public school. She'd carry her Bible with her to school and set it on top of her book. She sang in the choir at school. She sang in our adult choir and our youth choir. And she was a blessing. Tammy's just a good girl, real humble, not loud or boisterous, but just kind of a meek and quiet spirit type girl. Just a really good girl. Loved the Lord and all of that. And we had taken our volleyball team up to play in a tournament in Louisville, Kentucky, where she was going to Bible college there at Brother Lonnie Mattingly School years ago. And we had just been there for this volleyball tournament, and Tammy had went back to the motel room to hang out with our girls. We went to eat at Golden Corral and all this stuff. I mean, it was a great time. And Tammy was real proud. I preached a chapel there and got to meet all the students there. And it was just, she was so excited and all that. We were excited to see her. And she was in her senior year, her last year, the last semester, she was going to be student teaching. And that was on a Friday night. We left early Saturday morning, and she hung out with us the whole time we were there. And we told her goodbye and all that. Well, we went back home, got back to Arkansas on Saturday, and then had services on Sunday. Well, we took our youth choir, and we went up to a tent meeting. Brother John Horton was having a tent meeting up in Malvern, Arkansas. And we were out under the tent, and I got a call. They came and got me out of the service, and Tammy had gotten killed in an accident. We had just seen her on Friday, and this is Monday night, and I've got all the people with me that saw her there, you know. And I mean, I know it's going to be rough telling all the young people and all that. And well, anyway, what had happened, Tammy was going to volleyball practice with the college. And she was going to volleyball practice in a residential area, going like, you know, the speed limit's like 30 miles an hour, maybe 35. They came to a stop sign there, and you take a left. It's a one-way street. The girl that was driving, there were three girls in the car, and the girl that was driving looked back to her right, didn't see anything coming. So she just begins to pull out, and a boy on a Ninja, one of those really souped-up motorcycles, was like flying. He hit her, he T-boned right on her door. He flew 84 feet and was killed, and she died right there in the passenger seat of the car. Now, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story is this. The boy was a member of the Portland Street Gang, and he had been reached through the church as a bus kid when he was little, so the people, his family, called the church that Tammy was going to the Bible college at and asked Dr. Mattingly if he would preach the funeral. So it was a little bit, you know, I mean, and so anyway, he agreed to do that, and they'd gotten word through the grapevine that there might be some other gangs that would retaliate. There was some stuff going on there. And anyway, so they had the police there on the parking lot and all this stuff. Well, long story short, at that boy's funeral, the church family just embraced all these people that came, his family. And over, Brother Mattingly told me this. There's a large ministry there, but Brother Mattingly told me this. He said, Brother Guido, in my 30-some-odd years of pastoring, he said, the most people I've ever had saved at a funeral is 35. And over 100 people got saved at this boy's funeral. Over 100 people. And a bunch of them came to church. A bunch of them got baptized. I mean, it was unbelievable. Well, they brought the body, you know, Tammy's body, back to Arkansas. Brother Madden got on a plane and flew to Arkansas, and we had a service there. And Richard Way's wife, Brother Gary Way pastored up the way in Gainesville, Texas. Brother Richard was a youth pastor there, but Brother Richard's wife had gone to Bible college with Tammy and already graduated, so she knew Tammy. So she came to the funeral, and they were sitting in the back. Well, the next day on Sunday, or that next week on Sunday, she shared that story and had like two or three girls get saved in her Sunday school class. And then at the memorial service, there was this guy sitting in front of the casket that had long hair. We'd never seen him before. My nephew asked me, said, "Who's that guy sitting in front of the casket?" This is at the graveside. Kind of weird. But anyway, he's sitting in front of the casket. I've never seen him before in my life. I said, "I have no idea who he is." And so my nephew walked over and started talking to him. And our youth choir had sang at the memorial service at our church. And they sang a song called, "You Were Once My Friend." And it kind of tells a story about a person dying and going to hell because their friend didn't tell them about the Lord. Very, very powerful song. And this boy says, "You know that song that they sang?" He was talking about, "You were once my friend." And he said, "I was Tammy's friend." And he said, "We used to ride bicycles when we were little. We lived on the same street." And anyway, my nephew led that boy to the Lord. And my nephew was living in Hot Springs at that time. Guess where that boy was from? Hot Springs. That's where he lived at. And he went to church with my nephew. It's unbelievable. I'm just saying, wow. She gave her heart and life to Jesus Christ, preparing to be a missionary. Preparing her life to be a missionary. She might have reached more people in her death than she would have if she lived her whole life. Who knows? But I'm glad one day I'll see her again in heaven. I love these stories, man. I love stories. I'm going to get these guys to help me, brother. I got an illustration. I just want to show you we're done. Everybody okay? Amen. Tell you like Elizabeth Taylor told her fifth husband, "I'll not keep you long." Amen. Because I want you to come back tomorrow night. Amen. Amen. Here's the illustration, okay? I want you to just kind of watch here for just a minute. And these guys, these are my able-bodied assistants. I don't pay much, but... giving you a napkin there so you won't make a mess. There you go. Yeah, good. All right. Good deal. All right, we're passing out a bottle of water and a piece of bread. A bottle of water and a piece of bread. Are y'all with me? A bottle of water and a piece of bread. A bottle of water and a piece of bread. Have y'all got that point yet? A bottle of water and a piece of bread. Brother Wiggins, can you count? Okay, good. If you need to take your shoes off, you go ahead. I'm not even going to vote on that because I know the vote would be no. Don't take your shoes off. All right, here's my illustration. These guys are passing out a bottle of water and a piece of bread. All right. Are we there, Brother Wiggins? All right. Now watch this. Another piece of bread. Another piece of bread. Another piece of bread. I'm real thankful that I'm an American. I love America. I love singing "God Bless America, Land That I Love, Stand Beside Her and Guide Her Through the Night with the Light from Above." God's blessed America. God's been good to America. You know what the Bible says about the Lord? It says the Lord is the bread of life, doesn't it? Yeah. He's also the water of life, isn't He? He says, "I'll pour water on him who's thirsty. Lord, give me a drink." The old song says, "I thirsted in the barren land of sin and shame, and nothing satisfying there I found. But to the blessed cross of Christ one day I came, where springs of living water did abound. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul is satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water." The Bible says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I've tasted. He's good. Now, if you're sitting there wondering, how come I didn't get a piece of bread? How come I didn't get a bottle of water? My illustration is this. If we let the bread and the water and those who received it kind of represent the United States, what about those that live by the tracks in the Philippines? God gives all men some light, but we send missionaries to give them more light. Are you with me? What about the Samoans? I don't even know if I'm saying that right. But what about them? Do they deserve to hear? Well, thank God for Heritage Baptist Church standing by this missionary faithfully for 10 years or 8 years or whatever, however many years you've been standing by. Thank you for standing by the missionary out of my church, Brother Burton Gates up there in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He's reached a bunch of Puerto Ricans and Heinz 57 people up there. And you want to know about that place, you ask the missionary to the Philippines because he talks funny because he's from up there. I go up there and preach and they look at me like a calf looks at a new gate because they think I talk funny. What about those in Chile? The little Chileans. What about the little Canadians? I'm glad in my town that we've gone across the tracks and we run big blue and white buses. We've got 5 buses. And everybody in town knows about our bus ministry. We go over into the Thunder Zone and we bring in little boys and girls and we have a program for them and they get saved and we tell them about Jesus. Why? Because somebody gave me some bread one day. Somebody gave me a drink one day. The Lord gave me a drink one day. I want to help reach everybody I can in my Jerusalem. But I love Jesus and His burden is the world. What an honor. What an honor to help with His harvest. Are y'all listening to me? Let's bow our heads. Thank you for listening. Thank y'all. You can just set it down there. Preacher's already ate his. We'll bless the bread here in a minute. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Wow. I don't even know what to say. I want to say I'm glad I wasn't born by the tracks in the Philippines, but I'm glad I was born at the Santa Rosa Hospital in San Antonio, Texas. We always had plenty to eat. Had a nice house to live in. God bless our family. I don't have any stories like that. Man, we never went to bed hungry. I don't know too much about all that stuff. But I'll tell you, I do know this, that there are people in the world that they'd be glad to get a little bowl of rice, maybe a little piece of dried fish. That'd be a good day for them. All I'm saying is this, is that we need to be very thankful for what we have here in America because God's sure been good. The padded chairs tonight, the air conditioning, the carpet, we've got a lot to be thankful for. In church, I want to thank you again because what a blessing just to know there's a harvest you're having a part in reaching around the world tonight. We've got some more missionaries that want to go. And we just want to pray and say, Lord, good night. I'm in on this thing. And thank you for having a heart and love for the Lord first and for the world that Jesus Christ died for. How many would raise your hand tonight and say, Pastor, would you just pray for me? I don't know what God's doing in my heart, but I just want you to pray for me. I just want to do what He wants me to do this year in the area of my faith promise. And I'm praying and all of that. But would you just pray for me? I know we got a lot to be thankful. Would you slip your hand up? Just say, Pastor, would you just pray with me and pray for me? God bless you. We love you. We love you. God loves you. And, well, let's get under the burden to pray for our missionaries this year. Father, we thank you for the Word of God, Lord. And I know, Lord, that if we're going to be like you, Lord, that something needs to kind of happen in our hearts. We watch these slide presentations. And Lord, I pray we wouldn't let the world just desensitize us to where we don't care about things that really do matter to you. And God, we love you tonight. Thank you for speaking to my heart, Lord. And God, I thank you for just the Word of God, the Spirit of God. Lord, thank you for, illustrations that kind of little windows, Lord, to let the truth into our hearts. Lord, I thank you for the bread of life and for the water of life. And Lord, help us to always have a burden in the heart to want to see others receive you as their Savior. And God, thank you for these times together to be challenged and reminded and encouraged, Lord, in the area of world missions, Lord, world evangelization. Lord, bless the invitation tonight, Lord, and we'll thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.